Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Do you know what kind of parent you are? I would like to think that I am just such an awesome parent, but I do know some people think that I am maybe a little too over-involved, a little too emotionally invested in the minutiae of my kids, but there's all different styles of parenting. And today we're here to talk with Dr. Arthur Lavin. He's a pediatrician in private practice and the chairperson of the American Academy of Pediatrics Committee on Psychosocial Aspects of Child and Family Health. Dr. Lavin, I'm glad to have you here. I'm not sure I'm going to love what you say because there are so many different styles of parenting. So will you tell us about the different styles? Lighthouse, lawnmower, we've heard of helicopter. Tell us what these parenting styles are, please.
It'd be my pleasure, and thanks for having me back, Melanie. It's great to be back on the show. So the question's a great one for all parents. I think I'll start off by saying that as I'm a parent too, we all face this question, are we good? Are we good enough? You know, what sort of parent are we? And I think it's important for all parents to know that these styles are a little judgmental. We don't really lean on them very heavily. We like to think that most parents, if not all parents, are very good at many things, and we like to help parents build on their strengths rather than approach their weaknesses. But with that in mind, let's go over some of the styles that are being talked about there in public so that at the very least, the parents listening to your program can defend themselves against various charges. Like
I would like that.
Labels.
Let's do that.
So I think one of the styles that has gained a lot of publicity over the years is the helicopter parent. That comes from the concept that the helicopter is a device that can hover over you. And so the helicopter label was ascribed to parents who other people felt as though were hovering too closely, giving too much attention to each moment in a child's life, particularly in performance situations. That's the helicopter concept. The other concept goes by three different names, if you can believe it. And that's always a sign that the label's not working very well for people because the label's in use and they don't like hearing about it. So the label changes to avoid the downside of the use of that term. So we hear about lawnmower and bulldozer and snowplow parents. And as you can tell, none of these sound very complimentary. And again, we don't like the use of any of these labels, to be honest, but we'll talk about it because I think parents should know what's being talked about out there. So let's start with the lawnmower concept. The lawnmower parent is the parent who other parents feel or community feels removes too many obstacles facing the child. And the same definition applies to the bulldozer parent and the snowplow parent. In each case, in particular, with the concept of bulldozer and snowplow, you get the idea that the parent's clearing the way too thoroughly for their child, removing too many challenges. And then we get to a label that is the only label of these that we're going to discuss that is positive. And, you know, you can feel very good about yourself if someone accuses you of this label. And that's the lighthouse parent. The lighthouse parent is the steady beacon on the shore that doesn't interfere with the child's life but is there for them to offer guidance at any moment. So doesn't that sound nice?
It does. That's definitely the kind of parent I am. It definitely, definitely.
There
is.
You go.
I am going to tell my kids that. They're probably going to crack up. Okay, so are these things innate? Are they something that we learned from our parents? Are they a product of the environment and today's political climate and violence climate and all of these things make parents worry more? Why do we do it, Dr. Lavin, and how can we switch to become that lighthouse parent?
Well, let me just start off with saying that I don't believe anyone starts off as helicopter, lawnmower, or lighthouse. I think parents are parents. And there's some things beyond these labels that apply to every person who's had a baby, anyone who's connected to the baby, let's say. And that is, and when you ask about innate cultural and political impacts on parenting, the strongest force is innate, and that is an overwhelming sense that you want your child to be able to survive, not only to live, but to thrive. This is a nearly universal experience of parenting. And that cuts across all cultures. We've studied over 250 distinct cultures in the literature and found that this urgency to have your child live and succeed is found in every culture. That's basically what it means to be a human parent. Now, how does a child succeed? That's defined culturally. So success in 2019 is different than success in 1620. Success in this culture is very different from success in that culture. So now we move beyond the innate definitions of parenting into the cultural experience of parenting. And cultures change quite rapidly, it turns out. You can have a very different culture of parenting today than you had 20 years ago in America, for instance. And then there are the political influences, which I would bundle into the cultural. So today we have very strong, passionate politics. And I think there are subcultures within the United States that have very different experience of parenting within them. Now, depending on where you land culturally and politically, you may find yourself being a parent who gives their child more space to learn how to solve their problems, or you may find that your culture demands that you be more involved. So the more involved you are, the more likely you are to maybe be ascribed as a helicopter or lawnmower parent. The more you allow your child to have space to solve their own problems, while at the same time making sure their necessities are provided for and their safety is secured, that's the lighthouse parent. And so I think cultures actually move parents more towards the helicopter and lawnmower or more towards the lighthouse than we'd like to think. But those forces are very strong in pushing us one way or the other.
This time of year, it's hard to avoid getting sick, whether it's a common cold or the stomach bug. It's crucial to stay well hydrated. Hydrolyte is a great-tasting clinical hydration product that contains the correct balance of sodium, glucose, and water to rapidly replace fluids and electrolytes. Hydrolyte comes in great flavors like orange, berry, lemonade, and is available as a premixed drink, a powder, or effervescent tablets that you can simply drop into a glass or a bottle of water. Compared to sports drinks, Hydrolyte delivers up to 4 times the electrolytes with 75% less sugar. Hydrolyte solutions are appropriate for all ages, and each bottle or package includes easy-to-follow dosing instructions. You can find Hydrolyte in the digestive aisle at Rite Aid or online at Amazon.com. Visit Hydrolyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. That's Hydrolyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. As the youngest of 6 children, I think maybe with the first couple, my mother might have been some of those other things. But by the time I came around, she was pretty much that lighthouse parent. She probably always was. But, you know, who knew when all my elders and brothers and sisters were going through all those things. So what do we want to do to become that? Give us some things that parents can try today when it comes to guiding their children. Ways to think, ways for us to change that lawnmower, you know, idea that we want to clear the way so they have a nice clean path, or the helicopter so that we can see what they're doing at all times and know they're not getting hurt or in trouble. How do we become that lighthouse parent?
Well, I think the most powerful approach to succeeding in that goal is to be very clear in your mind. And parents, I really recommend that you talk to, you know, if there's 2 parents in the household, that both parents talk about this together, but that the parents come to some agreement as to the landscape of how they approach this issue. By that, I mean, you want to define 2 things very clearly. You want to define what are the necessities that you as a parent must provide, and what are the safety issues that you must ensure are in place. So for example, necessities would be food and love and clothing and shelter. Those are easy to talk about. But let's talk about riding your bike. A safety necessity might be wearing a helmet. But whether your child's able to ride the bike safely or not may be up to your child. So setting the landscape, defining very clearly in whatever activity your child's going to be involved in, what the the necessities are. Now, once you've established the necessities, now you've got room in that space that you've created for your child to explore that safe space and make their own mistakes and have their own disappointments and learn. Again, the child is the one who's going to be learning from their experiences. So I think for parents, if you can think about the difference between a necessity and something you like to feel good about protecting your child from, that opens up the space for the child to explore their world within the safe boundaries that you've set, but giving them plenty of room to make their own mistakes.
How do we know if that's what we're doing?
Well, I think it's helpful to talk to your pediatrician about any, you know, some situations are very easy. For instance, sitting at the dinner table, there's not a lot of safety concerns, and letting a child make their own choices for food is easy. On the bike riding example, how do you know when your child's old enough to go around the block on their own on a bike and those sorts of things? It's good to have a pediatrician you trust who you can talk to about making a good determination of whether you're being overprotective or underprotective. And let me say a word about that. I think all parents at times feel as though they're challenged in feeling as though maybe they're being overprotective or maybe in other situations not being protective enough. I don't think there's a natural inclination to know when you hit the balance just right. So talking to friends, talking to family, talking to your pediatrician gives you an idea. Some approach just get a measure of where you land on that spectrum of being too involved or not involved enough.
Well, that's true. I mean, we all have opinions of ourselves. And while we might be like, I'm not a helicopter, then some of my friends roll their eyeballs and go, oh, really? You know, so that's definitely a hard thing to know about ourselves as we wrap up. And what a great segment. So interesting. What do you want parents to know?
Oh, thank you, Melanie.
About those different parenting styles. And also, Dr. Lavin, while you're doing that, wrapping up for us, tell us about how we cannot judge other parenting styles, because that is a huge parent problem, is that judging, right? Well, we look at somebody else and say, how could you let your kid go on that rusty slide? Well, you know, so kind of put it into a nice big picture for us.
Yeah. So I think for parents, the most useful thing you can do is to start with the basics. That is, make sure you're providing the bare necessities your child needs. And that's going to make you feel good to start with, because most parents do that very well. And then you take the next step and try to define the sort of boundaries of safety, the walls within of the world in which your child operates that make you feel as though they could be safe. Then let your child explore that world, that safe world you've provided for them, and make their own mistakes and have their own learning experiences. If you do that, that immunizes you against accusations of being too protective, which would be the sort of negative labels of helicopter, lawnmower, bulldozer, and snowplow parent, and may earn you the label that is sort of a high mark of lighthouse parent. But beyond that, I would say to your listeners that it's important they not pay too much attention to these labels, especially the negative ones are used as criticisms that aren't usually fully informed. More importantly, it's a good idea for your parents to really have an internal sense of what's good parenting and do that for their children.
It's so true. And thank you so much, Dr. Lavin, for coming on and sharing your expertise, explaining these types of parenting styles and how we can become that consummate lighthouse parent, because I think that's what we all aspire to, or if we don't, we certainly should aspire to that. Thank you so much again. You're listening to Healthy Children, and all of our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics, the gold standard for pediatricians. And boy, as parents, we do love our pediatricians. You can listen to this show on Spotify, iHeart, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play. But of course, we want you to listen on RadioMD.com. This is Melanie Cole again, and stay well.